Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
But there's a greater victory that we all have in the power of the cross. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because we're seeing the gospel, we're seeing things begin to shift and change, and the light of the Lord begin to push back darkness in our region. And the same aspect has to happen within us, that we allow the light of the Lord to push back all defilement and darkness within us, and that we come to Him and we turn to Him. That's why we're fasting and praying with the whole heart, that God's shifting things, and we've said this is a turnaround year, and God's doing things, and we're really seeing that happen, and people are feeling that, not only in the community, but in their own hearts. Some of the prayers and the people that have been interceding up here at the fast, it's been amazing, the things that have been shared, and you get to know people when you begin to hear them pray and cry out. We also know that the gospel is the ultimate healing for anybody. We know that when people come into salvation, that is such a healing to have your sins forgiven. And we know that healing is rising in our region. Jesus said in Luke 4, 17 through 18, and this was shared the other day, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That's what He's called us to do. That's the mission of all of us. No matter where we are, that we can speak into people's life, when we can discern if they're poor or if they're oppressed or if they're held captive, and we can speak the heart of God with them. The church is meant to be a statement. And I want to say that over and over. The church has always meant to be a statement and a witness to the principalities and powers in a region of who Jesus really is. And what does it mean to live in a kingdom culture instead of a social culture? We're meant to be a statement, to be a witness, to be a testimony of the things that God is doing. And when the power of the cross is meant to manifest and is allowed to manifest in a region, we know that things shift when His presence begins to happen more frequently in the midst of our gatherings. And we begin to proclaim who He is. It's that proclamation of a believing church in faith that begins to shift things in our homes, in our communities. The powers over this region, and I have a lot about this, the powers over this region, when we begin to walk in the fullness of God, they no longer can hold us in bondage. When we begin to press into who we are in Christ, we get the healing that's necessary, and the truth begins to manifest in our life. They can no longer hold us in bondage. They almost have to release a community, because all of a sudden the testimony of Jesus is arising within the people and within the community. And people no longer are cowering in shame or fear. They're walking in the authority that God called them to walk in. And they're testifying about who He is, because their love level has went much, much deeper than before. And things are shifting. And that's what has to happen if the church is going to rise in this region. No longer are they going to be controlled by fear. And I believe that the enemy begins to recoil. He begins to pull back when men and women start standing up in their God-given identity and who they're called to be. And they begin to proclaim the truth no matter where they are. Again, I think the church is really learning a lesson through what's happening in our region, the church as a whole. Because we can't just be fishing, and I've said this before, in our own bathtub. We got to be out there fishing and sharing our faith. And our heart has always been to pour into the community through the prophetic, through the healing, through the meeting place forever, is to pour in and to help. And God, you know, there's one body. There's one body. There's not a whole bunch of bodies. There's one body. And Jesus is the head of that body. And I believe that's what's even happening today. That the conservative, the Baptist, and the Methodist, and the charismatic are learning how to begin to function together. It's not like, you know, Toronto, and it's not like Pensacola. It's a little different of how things are happening. And I think it's refreshing, and I think it's good. And I think it's surprising us a little bit and going, huh, ho. And even getting together on last week with all the pastors was so that the different communities, the African-American community, can start to get involved, the Hispanic community. And I don't know what all those pastors thought about that meeting, but Kyle really lifted the Lord up, and he just challenged them to come and see. And, you know, each and every one of us can be conduits of life and speak life about what God's doing in our midst. Or we can become critical. And I really don't understand how anybody could be critical of men and women going out in the streets and leading people to Jesus and an excitement happening in the body of Christ when they come together. But this is about one body. It's about one body. And it's going to be that way. And it's going to continue to be that way. The enemy's influence is I believe, lessening in this region. If we don't understand that, if we don't understand that we're one body, if we don't understand the power of the cross, the power of the gospel, if we don't understand a kingdom culture, then a lot of what we will do will be in vain. And that has happened a lot. And we got to understand this, because right now there's a wrestling match going on over this region, a huge wrestling match. And I believe light is advancing right now. I believe that darkness is being moved back and things are being revealed in the hearts of men and women. And as long as we keep it on Christ and our focus is on Him, and we don't, because even when pastors come, guys, you need to know this. When pastors come, they're hurting. They don't want to hear about an agenda of another pastor. All they want to know is about Him and is this really God moving in our midst? Because some of them have labored and labored and labored, and some of them are even pulling back in shame because hoping that things would have happened and getting weary. But God's wanting to refresh all of them and bring them into an understanding of what His heart is for Michiana. And this is an exciting time. This is not a we need to be stirred up and allow God to speak to us and speak His heart. It's not about individualism. It's not about this group, that group, of what we're doing here. And matter of fact, if you really get like that, you need to get healed of that. It's not about, oh, this is better. Oh, this is cool. Man, you got to come over here. You got to do this. There's good things everywhere when we're seeking the kingdom of God, because He will do this. He'll set you up. He'll set you up and get you exactly where you need to be. You've got to respond to the invitation, but He'll set you up. And that's His heart. There's great things happening all over this community right now. And our focus has to be on Him. It has to be on Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is what we've been praying and we in the prayer meetings. And we say it over and over because, again, it's our response. God is waiting. He's given us an invitation, and it's our response. And some of you have heard this over and over, but I would just share with you, hear it enough to be able to speak it to people that you come in contact with. Speak 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people are called by my name, if they really humble themselves, if they really pray and seek the face of God and turn, big one, turn from their wickedness, that they turn to God with their whole heart, then He's going to hear, forgive, and heal. And His hands are pretty much, again, I say this, but tied unless the body of Christ responds to the invitation that God's giving. And I believe that's happening. That's exciting. For you guys to come out in the snow to get here today, something's stirring in you. I mean that. For me to come out, something's stirring in me. We just can't call things off anymore. We got to keep advancing, keep praying, keep believing of what God wants to do. As long as, and I want to share this, as long as we are fearful, listen, for our own security and our own desire in our own little worlds and the world pleasures of this world, then we are no threat to the powers of darkness. Let me say that again. As long as we are fearful for our own little security and our own little thing, and we're not radical for the Lord, then we're really no threat to the enemy. But when you start laying things down, when people start praying and gathering and going out into the city and just praying for people, when those three folks came out to the front there, the guy that I told you about, I went out there and met them, and the guy was taking pictures because he couldn't believe there was an IHOP here. I was taking pictures, and I talked to him for a minute, and they had to go because they were on assignment to minister to a guy that was sitting in the chair down there. The assignment was taking precedence over any talk or anything. because they were on assignment for the Lord. Every one of you are on assignment from God. Do you believe that? You really are. You really are. You're called to walk in the fullness of who you are. You're called to rise up in the things of God. Every one of us. It's about a witness and it's about a testimony of Jesus going forth in the region. I believe that's what's happening. The very life of the church is beginning to proclaim this all throughout the region. A demonstration of this. And it's beginning to affect the social culture. It's beginning to affect us about the things we view and the things we do and the time that we give to other things when God is saying, come to me with your whole heart, everything. We're witnessing. We're witnessing it with our own eyes and seeing it. A witness, a light. And we're not having a witness of fear or of compromise. We're not witnessing that. Or manipulation. Because the enemy wants to manipulate us to keep us from the flow of God's heart. God wants you to be free. And let me put a little tag on it. He wants you to be joyfully free. Joyfully free. Not just, oh, yeah, I'm free from my sins. He wants you to go into the place of intimacy with God that you get joyfully free. That you don't play any games at all with God. And you get in that place. And you don't let anybody keep you from that place. Because that's who you're called to be. When you're in that place, things begin to make sense a lot more than when you're not. Amen? Amen. You remember, and this is a key thing too. You remember when Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? You guys remember that? Jesus replied, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Jesus had absolute confidence that nothing could terminate his life before the purposes of the Father, before the purposes of the Father were fulfilled. He had confidence. That's the same confidence God wants you to have right now. He wants you to have confidence that no authority is going to have its way over your life. That your time is in the hand of God. That your purposes are in the hand of God. That you're not wasting your time saying, how can I make things a little bit longer and survive a little bit longer? No, you're saying, I want to be in the purposes of God. And God holds the key of my life and death. Really, my death is my life in Him, in eternity. But He holds it. So you're not consumed with everything trying to just maintain. You begin to walk in the fullness and the authority of who you are and what you're called to be. And you say yes to that. That's my heart. That's my heart that we can fulfill that. We need to have that same confidence to renew our thinking. Not about lengthening our days, but about being exactly in what God wants us to do and the purposes of the Father to go forward and the purpose to walk in freedom. The church, I put this down as the church defined. It could read like this. I'm sure there's a lot of different, illustrations. But a church could be defined this way. A people who live without fear. A people already living in the realm of eternity. They have an eternal mindset. They're already living in the realm of eternity. A people joyfully free from the fear of man. How many are dealing with that and pressing into that and getting victory in that area? I'm just going to ask you, how many? Is there anybody here dealing with the fear of man and going forward? All right. Come on, I know there's more than that, but that's all right. A people who are walking in the light, in the righteousness, in the truth, are overflowing in the love of the Father and the Father's heart. A people that's living in the Word. Our destiny, our witness, and our purpose is found in the living Word. That's the church. The church is not ho-hum. If you want healing and you want to get closer to God, I guarantee you He will respond to you. With determination, He will respond to you. And all you have to do is say, yes, I want to be closer. And He's going to ask you to give up some things because it's about His will and not your will. We got to pick up the cross. We got to yield to Him. We got to find our identity in that life with Him and communion with Him. To pick up the cross and follow Him is to cross out ourself. It's not our will, but His will. My will merges into His will when I say yes. The Lord is much better, and His will for our lives is much better than anything we could desire, anything we could do here on this earth. Jesus died so that we could become one with him. He gave us the Holy Spirit to abide within us so that we might go forth into the fullness of his body and walk in the fullness of what he called us to do, in union with him, to become one with him. He wants us to take and go and move in a higher level of intimacy with him. He wants us basically to be completely in his will and not our own. This is the way of the cross. Unless you pick up your cross and follow him, and I believe that's what's happening right now in our community. Some people have picked up the cross and they're following after him with their whole heart. And it's shifting and changing things. The Lord is offering us an opportunity. I'll just kind of wind this down. He's offering every one of us in this room the Joel 2 response. To turn to him with all of our heart. To fast, to pray, to press in and find out what he has for us. The kingdom light is advancing. I believe, you know, God is the restorer of all things. The restoration of all things is beginning to happen in our midst and in our families. But you've got to desire it. You've got to want it. You've got to stir yourself up. When you leave on Sunday, when you leave out of here, and most of you that I look across this room, I'm sure you guys are on fire. You love God. But you understand, it just cannot be just Sunday. It just cannot be. You've got to be radical every day for God. You got to allow him to pour into you each and every day. You can't just say, oh, I'm doing this, or just get caught up in doing things for God. How are you and how am I cultivating my heart with God each and every day? Ask yourself that question right now. What are you doing to cultivate your heart to go deeper with God? And if you don't have an answer, you need to press into that. Because pressing into that is the answer to everything. How are you cultivating your heart? God's wanting to take us, I believe, even deeper than we've ever been. And so I'm excited about this. The Lord is offering this opportunity and this invitation as he begins to advance and move in our area. Partnering with him, partnering with Jesus depends completely upon us. There can be no excuses. His will is coming down from heaven right now in our midst. I believe that. The question is, how much are we walking in self and how much are we walking in his will? I want you to be encouraged with this message. It sounds like, oh man, you're hammering me. No, this is the good stuff. This is the stuff that we need to make sure that our eyes are focused, our heart is focused on this, and that we don't lose or we miss the day of visitation when God is beginning to move in our region and in our hearts. Again, guys, the prayers that have been going forth, even in our prayer meetings here, have been amazing. And what God's doing, he's doing it everywhere. He's moving. We're in the midst of a movement of God. That's why they called it Revive Indiana, not Revive Elkhart. Every other place they said was called a city, like Asheville or Twin Cities, or it was somewhere in Texas, but I don't remember all the different places. But this is the first time they said Revive Indiana. And how many of you know major absolute prophetic words have been spoken over this whole state, the crossroads of the United States of America? How many of you know that God has spoken over this state, that this state will have an impact to our nation? This is exciting times. I just expect all of you to get up and start dancing right now. I mean, I really do. I'm waving flags, jumping around, doing something. I don't know, high-fiving, doing something. Not in the emotion. Hey, you know, there's going to be a little emotion with this going on too. And we can't get caught up in the emotion of it, how this is happening. We got to get caught up in the reality of the Father's heart in the midst of it. His heart in it as it begins to emerge and progress and move forward. Whether things go up, whether they go down, we need to stay in that place of pressing in and seeing what God's purposes are for us individually and corporately. Absolutely. He will not force any one of us. This is the issue of free will. He's not going to force any one of you to go deeper with him. But he is asking for you to respond. And your response is probably different than someone else's response. But the days of just getting by, I think, are coming to an end. It's going to be one way or the other. The line is being drawn. The days of just getting by, the days of saying, well, you know, I really don't pray. I got someone else pray for me for this. The days of a pastor saying, I let my intercessors pray, those days are over. The day of any one of us just saying, well, I leave the praying to someone else. He's called us all to pray. He's called us all to be in that place, to be a witness, to be a testimony of Jesus. Well, I just let my life shine. That's good. But you definitely have a tongue for a reason, to speak, to share your heart. And again, of course, some of us can get caught up in the emotion of it, but God, man, we're moving in something that's pretty exciting. And that's all I want to say. And I got to get you out of here because you'll be mad at me on the way home, and then you'll have to repent when you get home. When they pull you out of the ditch, you'll say, doggone that Pastor Bob. Anyway, we don't want that happening. As we respond, listen to this. Last thing, and we'll close this. Michael, you can come on up. As we respond, He will be determined to draw you into Him. When you respond, He will be determined to draw you in. Are you guys listening? If you respond, if you draw near, He will be determined to draw near to you and to get close to you. It's a voluntary thing. It's not going to be forced. Real love cannot be forced. It's got to be voluntary. And as we respond, again, things will begin to shift. As we enter into intimacy with the Lord, we will find completion. Completion in why we were created and why we're here. Now, I want to, if you can write this down, I don't ask you to usually write too many things down. I would have had it up on the screen. But you need to get this. Truth is never ours until we have experienced it and it has become part of us. Let me say that again. Truth is never ours until we have experienced it and it has become part of us. Experience truth. That's who He is. Experience Him. And it becomes part of who we are. Be ready in your heart to respond in this hour. Be ready in your heart. The Lord's bringing forth His people. And many of you have been tested. Many of you have went through so much. And you've been tested and you've been proven to be able to move forward in the things of God. Tests and trials, that's what they're all about, is drawing you near and trusting in God and being determined in Him. Why don't you stand? Yes, God. I'm sure many of you could testify of some things that are happening with the revival. I'm sure many of you can testify of things that are happening in your own life. But time, truth, and fruit doesn't lie. And right now, I believe darkness is being pushed back. And I believe that if we respond, there's going to be some awesome things taking place. Not only here, but throughout all the body of Christ, everywhere. And that's why I'm here. I'm still here because of that reason. I just want to pray. I want you guys just to really, really pray with me right now. Lord, You offer an invitation, and we have to respond to it. We know that our nation is in a crisis. We know that many families, there's families represented here, things happening with our children. We know that many of them are in crisis. And we know that there's no remedy except You. And so we ask that You would move right now on all of our hearts, that we would be stirred to press in, to hear Your voice in this hour, that You would intervene with Your mercy and Your grace, and that things would keep moving forward in this region for Your glory and for Your honor, not for man. Lord, we ask that You would strengthen the team at Revive. We ask, God, that we know that people can get tired in revivals and get wore out, and we know the enemy can try to access and do things, and we just ask for Your protection over them. We ask for Your grace and Your presence to be with them. I don't know about all this snow, Lord. It might be It might even be so that people can rest today and be before you. So, Lord, we just pray again for this fast and this time in Joel 2, where it says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. Lord, let an alarm go off in our hearts today. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. And the Lord says to us, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. And it will come after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Lord, I just ask that we would help us through the power of the Holy Spirit even right now to just say yes. Yes to you. Yes to your will. To know that things are possible with you. To know that you're determined to be with us. We love you. We thank you. Lord, I also pray that you would keep everybody safe driving home, and that they would have just a good day in you today. And I just thank you for this family and the family of God in Michiana, that you just keep touching it. You keep moving on their hearts, that you would establish your house for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a wonderful, slippery day. And again, we'll be fasting next week. We will have a meal planned, and we'll all be gathering again right after the meal. And please greet somebody on the way out. This is your eternal family and your brothers and your sisters. Let unity go forth, God.
For there's no one else.
Yes.
Like you.
Yes, God.
Who is faithful and
true? Let the testimony of Jesus go forth in your life today, tomorrow, forever.
Yes, God. Only you.
Only you are whole.
wonderful. For there's no one else like you. All my love, my heart, my life is a testimony. Only you are holy. Only you are holy. Only you.